Great. Well, that was the way that ancient Israel celebrated harvest. Just as well, actually, we do it in a slightly less complicated way than they do. I mean, it's, I think I'd rather have packs. Really great things here, actually. Crunchy nut cornflakes. I love crunchy nut cornflakes. And the other thing, I tell you what I particularly like these. Do you like these? I think these are great, fantastic variety packs. I really love these. So there's going to be somebody lucky down the food bank who has that. But anyway, so when you grow up, you're supposed to kind of like, you know, serious cereal, but I really like those. Anyway, we're taking a quick break from the Beatitudes this week, before you take a quick break from the Vicar. And so I thought today, it's Harvest Sunday, I thought what we would do is just look at what the Bible has to say about celebrating harvest. Because, you know, the Bible is central to all that we do in this church and all we believe. So it's no big surprise that when we're to discover that the Bible has got something really worthwhile to say about harvest. And we read it, David read it to us in the extract from Leviticus. Not very often that we look at Leviticus here in All Saints, but it's a fascinating book. And I suppose if you want to know the outline of today's talk, it's not complicated, but it is important. And there's probably 3 points. I don't normally do 3-point sermons, but it's this. God is our supplier. Let's thank him for blessing us. And one way to thank him for blessing us is to bless those around us and bless our community, to pass on the blessing. And then we'll have communion and then it's lunch. Okay? So that's it. But I will say a bit more than that, all right? But that's it, really. Those are the 3 points. So let's unpack that a little bit. Now, it starts off, that reading was given in the context of God's people who had fairly recently been released from slavery in Egypt. During Exodus, we read that God delivered them safely out into the desert on the way to the promised land. Okay, it took a bit longer than it ought to have done for them to get there, but they got there in the end. And then a lot of people think it works like this. They arrive in the promised land, they kick out the previous residents, then they enjoy the fruits of the land flowing with milk and honey, as it says. They're immunized from the toils and pressures of the world because they are, after all, God's chosen people, and he's going to provide for them. Is that the way it works? Well, not quite right. I think we've missed something if we think that, because there's one thing about being chosen by God. God chooses people for a purpose. He doesn't choose people idly, he chooses them for a purpose. Now, the first person we know about in the Bible who was chosen was Abraham. Here we are. Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, there he is. He's nicely settled in Haran, just in kind of near where Syria is now. And the Lord taps him on the shoulder and comes out with this bombshell. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to a land I will show you. So by the way, he doesn't tell him where he's going. But he does make this promise. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. That's great, isn't it? It's good to be blessed. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And then we get this. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. You notice that last bit? All the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. That's the way that blessing operates. You don't keep God's blessing to yourself. In fact, the way that God's people right through the ages are meant to operate is that they bless those amongst whom they live. So if you look in the Bible, there are laws in the Bible about how the poor and the alien and the foreigner and the servants and the slaves, how they're to be treated. And they weren't to be treated like other nations treated their foreigners and their servants. God's people were going to be blessed, but they're not meant to hoard God's blessing for themselves. They're meant to pass it on. And this is the way they celebrated harvest. This actually is the way that they celebrate harvest in Israel now. God sent up a system of worship, a constant reminder of who he was, holy and almighty. And he also made clear to the people that they were sinful but still chosen. And he set up the Feast of the Year. This is their harvest festival. And the Feast of the Jewish Year were designed to reinforce this message. I'm holy and I'm almighty and you're chosen though you're still sinful. And what we read today was what was called the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot. Anybody know the other name? Pentecost. Brilliant. Well done, Ted. Pentecost. It's called Pentecost. That's the Greek name for it in the New Testament because it's 50 days after the Passover, Greek for 50. And now, in an agricultural society, it's no big surprise that a lot of festivals are linked to the agricultural year. But with God's people, the festivals were not just designed to commemorate the passing of the seasons. They're designed to make it clear that God is in control of the seasons. So, he's the source of their blessing. And so 50 days after the Passover, that's kind of late spring in the UK. But you see, in the hot climate, not much grows during the summer. So there was a harvest to be taken in just at the end of the spring. And what they do is they take in the harvest and then they thank God for the harvest. And here we are. This is in Israel. This is actually a group of Ethiopian Jewish children dressed up to celebrate Shavuot. Okay, and this one here, they've made some bread and they're waving the bread in front of the Lord. Again, this is in Israel in this year, I think, actually. Now, as you've heard from the reading that David gave to us, it was all quite involved, you know. There was a complicated system of offerings under the Old Covenant. First of all, they offered a grain offering. They got some grain, they'd harvest some grain. They offered some of the new grain to the Lord, an act of devotion to the Lord for all that he'd given. And then they sacrificed some animals as a burnt offering. That was like a voluntary act of worship. And when they offered anything as a burnt offering, they're saying, I'm giving it wholly to you. There's nothing left for us. We're just going to burn it all up and give it to you. And it was like a symbolic way of saying, I'm giving my whole self to you. Complete surrender. And then there was a sin offering. A reminder to them that the Lord was holy and they were sinful. And then it was a fellowship offering, which was an act of worship and thanksgiving. It was usually a communal meal as well. A bit like some of us are going to do after the service. And they presented what they had before the Lord, and then the priest waved it as a sign of God's blessing to them. And then it says this. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and for the foreigner reside among you. I am the Lord your God. And that's the point the Lord takes them to. So it's not just an early form of social welfare, though it did operate like that. What the law is saying, what God's word is saying through the law is this. This is the way that blessing operates. When the Lord blesses you, don't hoard it to yourselves. Share it. Bless others. Don't reap to the very edges of your fields. Don't be stingy. Leave some for others. And this actually comes right the way through the Jewish law, right the way through the Torah. Here we are, just as Deuteronomy 14. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns. So the Levites, who have no land allotted to them or any inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. You see, if you had no land, and if you had no husband, or if you had no parents, then life could be really precarious. You were dependent on the community. And what the Lord says is, look, store up the food, tithe, in other words, give a tenth, store it up, so that people who have nothing and can't give anything can receive. You see? And can you see how then the Lord blesses us and expects us to bless others? And as we bless others, more blessing comes back. This is a great verse. We've read this a lot here. It's an important verse to us here in this church. Malachi chapter 3. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there will be not room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And we've proved it time and time again, haven't we, in this church? You know, in this church, we tithe for the last, certainly that since as long as I've been here anyway, we've tithed our income to mission. We've given away at least a tenth, plus we've given away on top of that. And the Lord blesses us. So we pray, but we always succeed in reaching our financial targets. We've managed to bless lots of people. We've managed to spruce up our building, which is great. And God has always been there, bang on the button, year after year after year. It's been fantastic. And can you see the principle here is, if we bless others and if we give back to God and if we bless others, the Lord will carry on blessing. Here we go again. This is what Jesus says. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Can you see the cycle? Paul says the same thing. Remember also this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. God gives, and then you give away. God gives, and you give away. You know, and it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful to see what God has done through the good people of All Saints over the last few years, the way that we've given, and God has given back. We've given and given away, and God has given back. It's been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. Now, you might be thinking, this is some kind of prosperity gospel I'm preaching, okay? This is not the prosperity gospel. If I understand the prosperity gospel correctly, basically, it runs something like this. There's a televangelist on the telly who says, would you please send me $500, and I guarantee that you'll get $5,000 next week. That's the stuff, okay? That is not what I'm talking to you about. But what I am saying is that there is a cycle of blessing that goes on here, that we need to, we receive so much blessing from the Lord, and we just bless others. We receive more blessing, we bless others, and we keep passing on the blessing and passing on the blessing. And that's the way that God's blessing works. And that we proved it time and time again. Look at what God has done. You know, I say we've achieved all our financial targets. We've done up our building. 100 of us went off to Spring Harvest last year, for crying out loud, at a remarkable price. We're doing it again next year. It's amazing. God has blessed us. He continues to bless us. It's amazing. That's the kind of blessing that happens when God's people share the blessing. So, how can we do this in practical ways? Well, look, there's a good example behind me. Okay, so all that's lots going down to the food bank this week. We've received lots of blessing. We're passing it on. But a couple of things I was going to mention to you, which I thought you'd be interested to know about. Now, first of all, something we've done already this year. This year, the good people of All Saints gave over £2,000, including some gift aid, to Tear Fund to support their work in relieving the famine in East Africa, which was an extraordinary gift, and what a great blessing. And just last week, I heard from Tear Fund, and they sent me a link to a video, and I thought it would be great for us to see what had happened to the money that we gave. Tim.
It's great, isn't it? I'm looking forward to going out to Africa on Thursday. It's actually, there we are. You're giving away your vicar for a few weeks. I mean, that's for you. I know it's a really good deal, actually. But actually, the people in Uganda, as you'll hear in a minute, just get hardly any training at all. The clergy get hardly any training. So we are doing something really important. Great. Another way we can bless people is by this. It's National Prayer Weekend, as Paul has already alluded to. And this is what they say. We believe that local people praying for their community can change lives. Make God's love known to the people around you. Your street, your community, your prayers. So here's their group of people met together in St. Mary's Church in the center of town to pray for our community, and then went out to walk, prayer walk the town. We weren't all there. Actually, I couldn't be there because I was coming home from London. But what I thought was this: what we could do here this morning is we could bless our community. We could bless our community. What I thought we would do is, in a moment, we'll stand up and we'll think about our street, and we'll bless our street, and we'll bless our neighbours. And then I'm going to lead the prayer, and we're going to use the community blessing prayer we used at the
at the carnival. Is that all right? And if you're not from Swanage, when we sort of pray for Swanage in the community blessing prayer, say, I pray for Maidstone, because I know you're from Maidstone, or wherever you're from. All right, I'm from Bath. I know we've got people here from Bath this morning. You kind of fit that in. Is that all right? So you can shout out the word Bath or Maidstone or wherever you're from. Is that all right? Okay, are we up for that? Okay, so let's stand up and we're going to bless our town. Okay, so let's pray. And Lord, we want to bless our community this morning. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about your street. Think about your street, put it, envisage it in your mind's eye. Okay? And Lord, we want to bless the streets in which we live. We ask for your blessing on our street. And Lord, we ask that our street may be a place of harmony and joy, that your presence may be there, that the people who live in our street may know your blessing. Lord, we pray for the neighbor that we have to our left and to our right. We pray for them. If they don't know you, Lord, we pray that they may come to know you. We pray that they may know blessing and health in their lives. Lord, we pray for the people over the road from us. We pray for your blessing on them. We pray they may come to know you. They may know your blessing and your health in their lives. They may know health and well-being. If we live in a flat or an apartment, we pray for those who live above us and below us and around us. Come, Lord, and bless those who we live amongst. And Lord, we pray for our whole community. Lord, we pray for your blessing on the community that we live in. And we pray that we may see it transformed by the power of your Spirit, and we make ourselves available to be agents of transformation, to be your servants going out into our community. So the people we meet, the people we speak to, the people we know, may meet you as they meet us. We pray that this week we may meet people who may meet us and meet you through us. So let's say this prayer together. Today, we pray a blessing over our town and community of Swanage. We bless our community with the love and peace of God, which passes all understanding. We bless our town with being rooted and grounded in the love of God. We bless our community with the peace of Jesus and safety for all who visit, work, and live here. We bless the atmosphere over our town to be filled with joy and especially with the love and power of God. And we bless our town council and all those entrusted with positions of leadership in our community with wisdom, skill, and leadership, and in being good stewards and in managing the resources entrusted to them. Father God, may your kingdom come and your will be done in Swanage. May your glory be revealed in Swanage. May we see our community transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you empower us by the same Holy Spirit to be part of your plan for that transformation. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Great. Please sit down. Let's share bread and wine together.